This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Darn it anyway, Todd. Did you plan the timing of that where we had to take news and go to a break when Dianne Feinstein from California was on questioning the FBI director? I think you did that on purpose. Blame that on Todd, folks. You're going to have to text us if you want us to backtrack and get Dianne Feinstein on here. You tell us. And just to let us know, we're welcoming your commentary by text today at 701-226-8503. 8503 or 701-367-2054. You can also call us and leave a message. We're taking live coverage of James Comey, the former FBI director, before the Senate today. The world's watching, so we're there for you. We got it. 855-200-1776 to leave us a message, brought to you in part today by our friends at Holder Service Centers. Up to $32 an hour waiting for you, not to mention a great benefits package, the health, the 401k, they really load you up with all the goodies, flexible spending account, of course, and the paid time off program, but the life insurance, the medical, the dental, the prescription, disability, really good. And up to $32 an hour. Locations in Williston and Killdeer, Billings, Montana. To call Gary right now, 701-495-3592. All right, let's go back to the testimony. You're going to hear the questions first here from James Risch. He's a senator from Idaho questioning a Republican, the former FBI director. And if you want Dianne Feinstein in an encore performance that we missed during the break, you let us know. Just text us in yes or no. On Feinstein. Yeah, I'll be sitting on the edge of my seat wanting to know what you'd like there. So far, the bombshell on this, if you've missed anything, and what a lot of the Washington media types are going, is that Comey accuses White House of lies, plain and simple. You know, Comey wrote memos out of concern Trump might lie. You know, it's a lot of the same hyperbole that has, been expected of most of this. So keep listening here. We'll get you some more facts on this, but that's sort of where they're going with this. And they're talking about the fact that James Comey is saying, hey, the president fired me, that's fine. But then I heard him say that one day it was for this and one day it was for that. And so then I decided I needed to talk. And then I thought he was saying bad things about the FBI and about the people. And so one thing interesting there, do you remember when the attorney general, Jeff Sessions, had his deputy seated, and his deputy was charged very early on with saying, get over to the FBI, because the deputy attorney general is in charge of the FBI, find out if these people like Comey, don't like Comey, if things are going well, what. He brought a report to the president that said, hey, the place is, he's not doing a good job, and they want him gone. And that's when he fired him. No mention of that so far. We'll see if Senator Risch does that here next time.
The chairman walked you through a number of things that the American people need to know and want to know. Number one, obviously, we all know about the active measures that the Russians have taken. I think a lot of people were surprised at this. Those of us that work in the intelligence community, it didn't come as a surprise. But now the American people know this, and it's good they know this, because this is serious and it's a problem. I think, secondly, I gather from all this that you're willing to say now that while you were director, the President of the United States was not under investigation. Is that a fair statement?
That's correct.
All right. So that's a fact that we can rely on at this
point. Yes, sir.
Okay. I remember you talked with us shortly after February 14th when the New York Times wrote an article that suggested that the Trump campaign was colluding with the Russians. You remember reading that article when it first came out?
I do. It was about allegedly extensive electronic surveillance.
Correct.
Communications. Yes.
And that upset you to the point where you actually went out and surveyed the intelligence community to see whether you were missing something in that. Is that correct?
That's correct. I want to be careful in open setting.
I'm not going to go any further than that.
Okay.
So thank you. In addition to that, after that, you sought out both Republican and Democrat senators to tell them that, hey, I don't know where this is coming from, but this is not the case. This is not factual. Do you recall that?
Yes.
Okay. So the American people can understand this, that report by the New York Times was not true. Is that a fair statement?
In the main, it was not true. And again, all of you know this, maybe the American people don't. The challenge, and I'm not picking on reporters, about writing stories about classified information is the people talking about it often don't really know what's going on, and those of us who actually know what's going on are not talking about it. And we don't call the press to say, hey, you got that thing wrong about this sensitive topic. We just have to leave it there. I mentioned to the chairman the nonsense around what influenced me to make the July 5th statement. Nonsense, but I can't go explaining how it's nonsense.
That piece is a bombshell, folks. Just a little commentary there. So earlier he said, no, obstruction of justice, doesn't, as far as I'm concerned, it wasn't obstruction of justice, right? That's not for me to say. So that's gone. You know, he said that Trump didn't ask him to stop the Russian investigation. There goes that leftist narrative. And now the people writing about all this stuff have just been exposed as flat-out liars. What else do you need to know? I'm never trusting anything in the New York Times again. They're lying again, right there. And that's what feeds all these other stories. CNN is just reporting what New York Times says. Like a firing, you know, circular firing squad here. All right, here they go.
All right, so those three things we now know regarding the active measures with the president's under investigation and the collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians. I want to drill right down, as my time is limited, to the most recent dust-up regarding allegations that the president of the United States obstructed justice. And, boy, you nailed this down on page 5, paragraph 3. You put this in quotes. Words matter. You wrote down the words so we can all have the words in front of us now. There's 28 words there that are in quotes, and it says, quote, I hope, this is the president speaking, I hope you can see your way clear to letting this go, to letting Flynn go. He is a good guy. I hope you can let this go. Now, those are his exact words. Is that correct?
Correct.
And you wrote them here and you put them in quotes?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you for that. He did not direct you to let it go.
Not in his words, no.
He did not order you to let it go.
Again, those words are not an order.
No. He said, I hope. Now, like me, you probably did hundreds of cases, maybe thousands of cases, charging people with criminal offenses. And, of course, you have knowledge of the thousands of cases out there that where people have been charged. Do you know of any case where a person has been charged for obstruction of justice, or for that matter, any other criminal offense where they said or thought they hoped for an outcome?
I don't know well enough to answer. And the reason I keep saying his words is I took it as a direction.
Right.
I mean, as the President of the United States, with me alone saying, I hope this, I took it as this is what he wants me to do. Now, I didn't obey that, but that's the way I took it.
You may have taken it as a direction, but that's not what he said.
Correct.
He said, I hope.
Those are exact words.
Okay.
Correct.
You don't know of anyone that's ever been charged for hoping something. Is that a fair statement?
I don't, as I sit here.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. So some of you said, hey, we want Dianne Feinstein. So let's jump to Dianne Feinstein here. Okay.
Senator Cornyn and I sit on the Judiciary Committee, so we have occasion to have you before us. And I know that you're a man of strength and integrity. And I really regret the situation that we all find ourselves in. I just want to say that. Let me begin with one overarching question. Why do you believe you were fired?
I guess I don't know for sure. I believe I think the president had his word that I was fired because of the Russia investigation. Something about the way I was conducting it, the president felt created pressure on him they wanted to relieve. Again, I didn't know that at the time, but I've watched his interview. I've read the press accounts of his conversations, so I take him at his word there. Now, look, I could be wrong. Maybe he's saying something that's not true, but I take him at his word, at least based on what I know now.
Yeah, talk for a moment about his request that you pledge loyalty and your response to that and what impact you believe that had.
I don't know for sure, because I don't know the president well enough to read him well. I think it was, first of all, our relationship didn't get off to a great start, given the conversation I had to have on January 6th. This was not, this didn't improve the relationship, because it was very, very awkward. He was asking for something, and I was refusing to give it. But again, I don't know him well enough to know how he reacted to that exactly.
Do you believe the Russia investigation played a role?
And why I was fired?
Yes.
Yes, because I've seen the president say so.
Let's go to the Flynn issue. Senator Risch outlined, I hope you could see your way to letting Flynn go. He's a good guy. I hope you can let this go. But you also said in your written remarks, and I quote, that you had understood the president to be requesting that we drop any investigation of Flynn in connection with false statements about his conversations with the Russian ambassador in December, end quote. Please go into that with more detail.
All right. We're going to have to hold that and more of this testimony after the break on What's On Your Mind Today, brought to you by our friends at NorthDakotaFlagpole.com, NDFlagpoleGuy.com, rather. That's the website. Jim, our friend there, sells American-made flagpoles and flags. And does some great install work as well. Call them 701-571-FLAG. Don't wait another day. NDFlagpoleGuide.com.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Find the easy links at whatsonyourmindradio.com.
You decide. That's a great way to live life. And you pull up to the pump at PetroServe USA locations, and you get to decide. Do I want E15, E10, E85, E30, E40? Do I want unleaded? You get choice at the pump. At PetroServe USA locations all throughout North Dakota and Minnesota. Just look for that red, white, and blue banner of PetroServe USA, the folks that help America fuel better, because they love the idea of connecting North Dakota's farm fields with North Dakota's oil fields. And that gives you choice at the pump. Simple as that. Come on in the store for some great savings always. My personal favorite is the 4-for-4 special. Four items for $4. Okay, what are they, Scott? How about a personal pan pizza? Hot stuff. One of the best. How about a 20-ounce drink of your choice? And how about two delicious cookies? Four items, the pizza, the pop, the cookies, $4 all day, every day. Exactly. At a PetroServe USA location near you. Tell them Scott sent you.
Watford City, we're not the same, we're better. The New York Times has placed the Theodore Roosevelt National Park number 5 on its list of the top 52 places to visit in 2016. With miles of rugged badlands and rolling grasslands dotted with wildlife, the north unit of the park sits just 12 miles south of Watford City, a small town getaway with big city amenities. The gateway to internationally acclaimed adventure, Watford City residents have enjoyed the natural beauty of the area for centuries. And now, with over 700 available hotel rooms, a variety of cabins and campgrounds, 25 restaurants, unique shopping, and newly built, construction-free highways to get you there, you can plan a visit that's as rugged or as relaxing as you like. Because the Theodore Roosevelt National Park is North Dakota's playground right in your backyard. And Watford City wants to help you experience what has the nation inspired. Because the Badlands are just the beginning of the adventure. Watford City, we're not the same, we're better. Come see for yourself.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
You know, it's on my calendar. I'm going to Olford, North Dakota tomorrow for the Hawk Museum. Wow, are we going to have some fun. 28th Annual Antique Farm Show at the Hawk Museum. It is tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday. I'm sorry, tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday at the Hawk Museum. Hawkmuseum.org to find out all the details, but that's on my calendar. It'll be a grand day. Looking forward to it. Envision Co-op, thank you. Merchants Bank, Rugby, Gooseneck, Implement, Farmers Union, Oil Company, Devil's Leg, North Central Grain, Bisbee, and Bremer Bank, Rugby, for bringing you that fine broadcast. And don't forget, speaking of your calendar, our friends at Pipers have a busy summer. Gosh almighty, they got a lot going on, folks. Next week, a big rental equipment liquidation auction of Joe Rents in Fargo. There's Cass and Barnes County acreage and building site. There's a farm machinery estate auction on Goodrich happening on Tuesday the 20th. There's a farm retirement auction in Grandin on the 22nd. So check all this out. Also, that Hepper retirement farm machinery auction in Selfridge, North Dakota, coming up too, and a bin site auction. And Wild Rose, a retirement farm machinery auction, July 11th. That's just the next month. So Pipers.com, call them for a catalog, 877-700-4099. Okay, here's the answer now. You heard the question from Diane Feinstein. We're getting text now to say to move on from Diane Feinstein. What, should we let her finish, Todd? We got to let him answer the question. Oh, more question, one more answer, one more question-answer session, and then we'll go to the next questioner. Okay, how about that? Here we go.
Well, the context and the president's words are what led me to that conclusion. As I said in my statement, I could be wrong, but Flynn had been forced to resign the day before. And the controversy around General Flynn at that point in time was centered on whether he had lied to the vice president about the nature of his conversations with the Russians, whether he had been candid with others in the course of that. And so that happens on the day before. On the 14th, the president makes specific reference to that. And so that's why I understood him to be saying that what he wanted me to do was drop any investigation connected to Flynn's account of his conversations with the Russians.
Now, here's the question. You're big, you're strong. I know the Oval Office, and I know what happens to people when they walk in. There is a certain amount of intimidation. But why didn't you stop and say, Mr. President, this is wrong. I cannot discuss this with you.
It's a great question. Maybe if I were stronger, I would have. I was so stunned by the conversation that I just took it in.
Okay.
Only thing I could think to say, because I was playing in my mind, because I could remember every word he said, I was playing in my mind, what should my response be? And that's why I very carefully chose the words. And look, I've seen the tweet about tapes. Lordy, I hope there are tapes. I remember saying, I agree he's a good guy, as a way of saying I'm not agreeing with what you just asked me to do. Again, maybe other people would be stronger in that circumstance, but that's how I conducted myself. I hope I'll never have another opportunity. Maybe if I did it again, I would do it better.
Is this past the smell test to you? Now we're feeding all this outrage. And okay, why didn't you say anything? Well, I just didn't. I just was stunned. I was stunned. I mean, it sounds like a snowflake. Last question from Ms. Feinstein, Senator from California. Here we go. To James Comey.
You described two phone calls that you received from President Trump, one on March 30 and one on April 11, where he, quote, described the Russia investigation as a cloud that was impairing his ability, end quote, as president, and asked you, quote, to lift the cloud, end quote. How did you interpret that? And what did you believe he wanted you to do?
I interpreted that as he was frustrated that the Russia investigation was taking up so much time and energy. I think he meant of the executive branch, but in the public square in general, and it was making it difficult for him to focus on other priorities of his. But what he asked me was actually narrower than that. So I think what he meant by the cloud, and again, I could be wrong, but what I think he meant by the cloud was the entire investigation is taking up oxygen and making it hard for me to focus on the things I want to focus on. The ask was to get it out that I, the president, am not personally under investigation.
After April 11th, did he ask you more ever about the Russia investigation? Did he ask you any questions?
We never spoke again after April 11th.
All right, she's done. Let's go to Susan Collins, Republican from Maine, questioning Director Comey. She came after. Here we go.
The information.
Yes, ma'am.
Correct. Then on the January 27th dinner, you told the president that he should be careful about asking you to investigate because, quote, you might create a narrative that we are investigating him personally, which we weren't. Again, were you limiting that statement to counterintelligence investigations or more broadly, such as a criminal investigation?
The context was very similar. I didn't modify the word investigation. It was, again, he was reacting strongly against that unverified material, saying, I'm tempted to order you to investigate it. And that, in the context of that, I said, sir, you want to be careful about that because it might create a narrative we're investigating you personally.
And then there was the March 30th phone call with the president in which you reminded him that congressional leaders had been briefed that we were not personally, the FBI was not personally investigating President Trump. And again, was that statement to congressional leaders and to the president limited to counterintelligence investigations, or was it a broader statement? I'm trying to understand whether there was any kind of investigation of the president underway.
No. I'm sorry. And if I misunderstood, I apologize. We briefed the congressional leadership about what Americans we had opened counterintelligence investigation cases on, and we specifically said the president is not one of those Americans, but that there was no other investigation of the president that we were not mentioning at that time. What the context was counterintelligence, but I wasn't trying to hide some criminal investigation of the president.
And was the president under investigation at the time of your dismissal on May 9th?
No.
I'd like to now turn to the conversations with the president about Michael Flynn, which have been discussed at great length. And first, let me make very clear that the president never should have cleared the room, and he never should have asked you, as you reported, to let it go, to let the investigation go. But I remain puzzled by your response. Your response was, I agree that Michael Flynn is a good guy. You could have said, Mr. President, this meeting is inappropriate. This response could compromise the investigation. You should not be making such a request. It's fundamental to the operation of our government that the FBI be insulated from this kind of political pressure. And you've talked a bit today about that you were stunned by the president making the request. But my question to you is, later on, upon reflection, did you go to anyone at the Department of Justice and ask them to call the White House?
There we go. Good question. Good question. Answer when we come back. Plus Marco Rubio's questioning, too, coming up on What's on Your Mind.
We want to know what's on your mind. So call and tell us at 800-228-0550 or 701-258-0550.
The radio history of the Dakota Access Pipeline protest era. I'm Scott Hinnon. Thanks for listening. Today's guest, former Governor Jack Dalrymple. Our question for him, whether the truth was missing throughout this entire ordeal.
Absolutely. I think we're going to see that is the truly interesting thing historically about this, is the degree of misinformation and untruth that prevailed. And there's a lesson to be learned there. And the power of social media is an amazing thing, and it can be used for great good, in my opinion, but it also has a downside, and that is it allows people to spread misinformation and untruth very rapidly, and it also allows groups that are organized in their dissemination of misinformation to have a great tool at their disposal.
Former North Dakota Governor Jack Dalrymple. Keep listening for more of our ongoing series of the radio history of the Dakota Access Pipeline protests.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Wife says, is this a show called What's on Your Mind? I don't want to hear these people. Turn it off. We said we made a decision today that everybody's talking about this. And rather than have, you know, you have to suffer through everybody else's interpretation of what was being said, we thought it better to give you exactly what they said, and then you can comment on it. And a lot of you are by text and also the off-air line, so I appreciate that very much. But the term BS is coming from a lot of listeners. Typical DC BS, says this listener, Feinstein. Why do you believe you were fired? Comey, I don't know. Blah, blah, blah. You don't know what you believe? Yeah, no, I hear you. Another listener, South Dakota listener, says Comey loves this attention. It all sounds rehearsed. Comey's memos or notes are government property. I want to see all of them during his tenure as director. All right, you keep those comments coming, folks. 855-200-1776, extension 1, or you can text us, Todd at 226-8503, or me, 367-2054. Brought to you in part today by our friends at High Plains Apache. That High Plains Apache is the home of the Apache Sprayer, the best of the best, the businessman sprayer, and that ET Ag Center where you find every possible part you can imagine, any make, any model, right across the road from Bonanza at 1701 East Side Court, High Plains Apache. And online at highplainsapache.com, you'll also find them in Frontier Exit 60, south of Fargo, I-29. So you need this answer from Director Comey to, was it again? Susan Collins, I guess, asked the question. Here's the answer. Here you go.
Counsel's office and explain that the president had to have a far better understanding.
Just if you didn't hear the last part of this, she's basically saying, hey, if you're so upset about what he said about Kelly and about, you know, all of those things and asking about if, I hope, you know, all those things, why not state it. Go public. Go back to the office. Say, we got to do something about this, or make your concern known.
An appreciation of his role vis-a-vis the FBI.
In general, I did. I spoke to the Attorney General, and I spoke to the new Deputy Attorney General, Mr. Rosenstein, when he took office, and explained my serious concern about the way in which the President is interacting, especially with the FBI. And I specifically, as I said in my testimony, told the Attorney General, it can't happen that you get kicked out of the room and the president talks to me. But look, in the room, but why didn't we raise the specific? It was of investigative interest to us to try and figure out, so what just happened with the president's request? So I would not have wanted to alert the White House that it had happened until we figured out, what are we going to do with this investigatively?
All right, I'm going to go to Marco Rubio, a senator from Florida, who is aggressively questioning the...
I wasn't sure what to make of it, honestly. That's possible,
director.
But it was so out of context that I didn't have a clear view of what it was.
Now, on a number of occasions here, you bring up, let's talk now about the General Russia investigation, okay? In page 6 of your testimony, you say, the first thing you say is, he asked what we could do to, quote unquote, lift the cloud, the General Russia investigation, and you responded that we were investigating the matter as quickly as we could and that there would be great benefit if we didn't find anything to having done the work well, and he agreed. He reemphasized the problems it was causing him, but he agreed. So in essence, the president agreed with your statement that it would be great if we could have an investigation, all the facts came out, and we found nothing. So he agreed that that would be ideal, but this cloud is still messing up my ability to do the rest of my agenda. Is that an accurate assessment of...
Yes, sir. He actually went farther than that. He said, and if some of my satellites did something wrong, it would be good to find that out.
Well, that's the second part, and that is the satellites. He said, if one of my satellites, I imagine by that he meant some of the other people surrounding his campaign, did something wrong, it would be great to know that as well.
Yes, sir. That's what he said.
So are those the only two instances in which that sort of back and forth happened, where the president was basically saying, and I'm paraphrasing here, it's okay, do the Russia investigation. I hope it all comes out. I have nothing to do with anything Russia. It'd be great if it all came out, if people around me were doing things that were wrong.
Yes, as I recorded it accurately there, that was the sentiment he was expressing. Yes,
so what it bears, it comes down to, is the president has asked three things of you. He asked for your loyalty, and you said you would be loyally honest.
Honestly loyal.
Honestly loyal. He asked you on one occasion to... let the Mike Flynn thing go because he was a good guy. By the way, you're aware that he said the exact same thing in the press the next day. He's a good guy. He's been treated unfairly, et cetera, et cetera. So I imagine your FBI agents read that.
I'm sure they did.
The president's wishes were known to them, certainly by the next day when he had a press conference with the prime minister. But going back, the three requests were, number one, be loyal. Number two, let the Mike Flynn thing go. He's a good guy. He's been treated unfairly. And number three, can you please tell the American people what these leaders in Congress already know, what you already know, what you've told me three times, that I'm not personally under investigation?
Those are the three things he asked. Yes, sir.
You know, this investigation is full of leaks left and right. I mean, we've learned more from the newspapers sometimes than we do from our open hearings, for sure. You ever wonder why, of all the things in this investigation, the only thing that's never been leaked is the fact that the president was not personally under investigation, despite the fact that both Democrats and Republicans and the leadership of Congress knew that and have known that for weeks?
I don't know. I find matters that are briefed to the Gang of Eight are pretty tightly held, in my experience.
Finally, who are those senior leaders at the FBI that you shared these conversations with?
As I said in response to Senator Feinstein's question, Deputy Director, my Chief of Staff, General Counsel, Deputy Directors, Chief Counsel, and then more often than not, the number three person at the FBI, who's the Associate Deputy Director, and then quite often the head of the National Security Branch.
Senator White.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Comey, welcome. You and I have had significant policy differences over the years, particularly protecting Americans' access to secure encryption. But I believe the timing of your firing stinks. And yesterday you put on the record testimony that demonstrates why the odor of presidential abuse of power is so strong. Now to my questions.
Thank you.
In talking to Senator Warner about this dinner that you had with the president, I believe January 27th, all in one dinner, the president raised your job prospects, he asked for your loyalty, and denied allegations against him. All took place over one supper. Now, you told Senator Warner that the president was looking to, quote, get something. Looking back, did that dinner suggest that your job might be contingent on how you handled the investigation?
I don't know that I'd go that far. I got the sense my job would be contingent upon how he felt I, excuse me, how he felt I conducted myself and whether I demonstrated loyalty. But I don't know whether I'd go so far as to connect it to
the
investigation.
He said the president was trying to create some sort of patronage relationship. In a patronage relationship, isn't the underling?
You tell him what he said.
To behave
that's a good idea.
In a manner consistent.
Maybe you know better.
The wishes of the boss.
What he said and
yes.
him.
Okay.
Or at least consider how what you're doing will affect the boss as a significant consideration.
Let me turn to the Attorney General. In your statement, you said that you and the FBI leadership team decided not to discuss the president's actions with Attorney General Sessions, even though he had not recused himself. What was it about the Attorney General's own interactions with the Russians or his behavior with regard to the investigation that would have led the entire leadership of the FBI to make this decision?
Our judgment, as I recall, was that he was very close to and inevitably going to recuse himself for a variety of reasons. We also were aware of facts that I can't discuss in an open setting that would make his continued engagement in a Russia-related investigation problematic. And so we were convinced, and in fact, I think we'd already heard that the career people were recommending that he recuse himself, that he was not going to be in contact with Russia-related matters much longer. And that turned out to be the case.
How would you characterize Attorney General Sessions' adherence to his recusal, in particular with regard to his involvement in your firing, which the president has acknowledged was because of the Russian investigation?
That's a question I can't answer. I think it's a reasonable question. If, as the president said, I was fired because of the Russian investigation, why was the attorney general involved in that chain? I don't know. And so I don't have an answer for the question.
Can I add something here? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He said himself at the start of testimony, the president of the United States can fire him at any time for any reason. Doesn't that end all of this? We've heard that there was no obstruction of justice. What's going on here? We've heard the New York Times lies. We heard the reason James Comey had to come out in the first place in the middle of the investigation, which, by the way, Hillary Clinton believes wrecked her chances to be president. Remember, she said he ruined it. He said today he had no choice for that but to happen because Loretta Lynch, the attorney general under Barack Obama, and Bill Clinton, the former president and husband of the presidential candidate, were meeting secretly in a plane down in where, Arizona or something. Said that today. Probably the most, I don't know, strong testimony that he gave of anything today was him just saying, you know, I had no choice. I had no choice. I had to do that. Here's why. And sounded like there were more issues related to that meeting that were dealt with in private session. Folks, you're witnessing a charade. This is a charade, a parade, a political witch hunt. It's stupid, and it doesn't impact your lives even just a little bit. Even just a little bit. Other than they're trying to take a president down who's been duly elected and trying to stop his agenda. And in my mind, you have a bunch of desperate Democrats who see their grip on power slipping away. Same with the swamp. And you have Republicans buckling at the knees and no stomach for a fight. It's ridiculous. The whole thing's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, literally. Think of the little sandbox and the third grade teacher has to come on along with the playground monitor at school and say, now, okay, did you ask nicely for the ball or did you just take the ball? Well, it's my ball. Well, I could take the ball. Is his ball? Yeah, I told him he could take the ball anytime he wanted, so he did. He just didn't do it nice enough. He said some bad things about me. That's why we're listening to this right now. I'm not kidding. That's how James Comey started this, was saying, I was very hurt. I was fine. I was okay. I would leave. I'd be gone. It'd be okay. But, and I said the president could fire me anytime he wants. But when I heard him say one thing and this thing, and then he wasn't very nice about it, and I, you know, he's a jilted FBI director, folks. Last chance of the testimony coming back on What's On Your Mind.
Serving the Northern Plains, this is What's On Your Mind. Back to more of your calls straight ahead.
Hi, I'm Elise Pucklich of Pucklich Chevrolet Buick GMC in Valley City. And when we say you drive, we'll ride with you, we mean we'll be with you every step of the way. For over 34 years, we've known the sale of a vehicle is the first step in making you a customer for life. We're family owned and operated, and we care about our community and the people who live here. So experience the difference a car dealer can make at Pucklich Chevrolet Buick GMC in Valley City, where customer satisfaction is our number one priority.
Hot Springs Spas and Pool Tables, too, is where every day is made better for you. Just ask Becca in Buxton how it's been better for her. Becca, what brought you into Hot Springs Spas?
First of all, I had a friend that purchased one, and we went over there and sat in it with him, and it was just awesome. So we met Vince, and he got us into one, and we fell in love with it and use it all the time.
So what do you remember that first time you were in the hot tub at your friend's house? What was the experience like? What did you think of it?
You know, we had hot tubs in the past, and none of them were as comfortable, and the jets were perfect, and they're just so relaxing. You just sit in there, and every spot in the hot tub was a relaxing spot. It wasn't that you had to fight over the best one. Every seat in there was great.
So if you've owned hot tubs before, you have the benefit of comparing sort of the ownership experience, what it's like to get the hot tub ready and then the maintenance and everything. How do you compare, you know, the ones you had with a hot spring spa?
The hot springs is low maintenance, almost no maintenance, from fill to just keeping it clean. It's just been so much easier. The draining is easier. The cleaning of the filters is easier. It's been great. I'm really just in love with it.
Every day made better. Take it from Becca and Buxton and every customer of Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables, too. They're located in Minot, in Grand Forks, in Bismarck, and Fargo, too. Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables, too. Or check them out online at hotspringnd.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know, the credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-314-7417. 800-314-7417. That's 800-314-7417.
Is that Ellen painting her garage?
Yesterday she was trimming her hedges.
What's her secret?
I heard she was eating this new superberry called the Aronia berry.
Aronia? What?
Aronia berries from superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness.
Where can we get them?
Go to superberries.com/radio. And right now we get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus we can save $4 at checkout.
I can't wait. I've got lots of projects I need to get done.
Yes, you do.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com.
North Dakota, a place to grow since 1901. Members of Tioga's Chamber of Commerce, proud sponsor of this very broadcast. Growing community with great schools, new housing, golf course, theater, expanded new bars and restaurants as well. It's the oil capital of North Dakota. For more information, check them out online at TiogaND.net. All right, our final segment here on What's On Your Mind. We will be at Hawk Museum tomorrow in beautiful Wolfer, North Dakota for the 28th Annual Antique Farm Show at the Hawk Museum. We'll have a number of guests from the museum talking about what's happening there. We're going to talk about some of John Deere equipment will be there from Gooseneck Implement, and we're just going to have a grand old time. We're also going to have a little discussion about property taxes and whether they will change and, some say, go up after the last legislative session, despite the same amount of money going for property tax relief in total between K-12 and some other things they did with social services in the legislature. So we got to get to the bottom of that. And also, Lieutenant Governor Brent Sanford and Governor Doug Burgum are today at the White House for a discussion on infrastructure. Look forward to catching up with both of them about that coming up. Our broadcast from the Hawk Museum, brought to you by Envision Co-op, Merchants Bank, Rugby, Gooseneck Implement, Minot, Farmers Union, Oil Company, Devil's Lake, North Central Grain, Bisbee, Bremer Bank, Rugby. All right. Somewhat frustrating testimony today, but because there doesn't seem to be any there. But an effort to try and create some more smoke when there still isn't a fire, really. A fellow by the name of Roy Blunt. He is a senator from Missouri, Republican, with his questions now for James Comey. Listen close.
Mr. Comey, when you were terminated at the FBI, I said and still continue to feel that you have provided years of great service to the country. I also said that I'd had significant questions over the last year about some of the decisions you made. If the president hadn't terminated your service, would you still be, in your opinion, the director of the FBI today?
Yes, sir.
That might be the question.
So you
that might
took
be...
as a direction from the
what you wrote down and what you perceived.
All right, we got too many things going on here. That might be the question of the whole day. I'm just paused there. You're going to hear the rest of his answer here. All right. Did you get the significance of this? If the president hadn't fired you, would you still be there? Yes. It just renders all the rest of the testimony pointless. Nothing in any of this was so bad you were going to quit. I mean, how many times have you been uncomfortable with your boss or what he's asking you about or whatever, and, you know, you work it out. You go this route, that route. Get so bad, you just leave. You have that option. You just go. And you could go and say, here's why I'm going. That right there tells you everything you need to know about what these folks are trying to create here. More.
President, something that you thought was serious and troublesome, but continued to show up for work the next day.
Yes, sir.
And 6 weeks later, we're still telling the president on March the 30th that he was not personally the target of any investigation.
Correct. On March the 30th, and I think again on April 11th as well, I told him we're not investigating him personally. That was true.
Well, the point to me, the concern to me there is that all these things are going on. You now, in retrospect, or at least you now to this committee, that you had serious concerns about what the president had, you believe, directed you to do, and had taken no action, hadn't even reported up the chain of command, assuming you believe there isn't up the chain of command, that these things had happened. Do you have a sense of that, looking back, that that was a mistake?
No. In fact, I think no action was the most important thing I could do to make sure there was no interference with the investigation.
And on the Flynn issue specifically, I believe you said earlier that you believe the president was suggesting you drop any investigation of Flynn's account of his conversation with the Russian ambassador, which was essentially misleading the vice president and others.
Correct. And I'm not going to go into the details, but whether there were false statements made to government investigators as well.
Any suggestion that General Flynn had violated the Logan Act, I always find pretty incredible. The Logan Act's been on the books for over 200 years. Nobody's ever been prosecuted for violating the Logan Act. My sense would be that the discussion, not the problem, misleading investigators or the vice president might have been.
That's fair. Yes, sir.
And had you previously on February the 14th discussed with the president in the previous meeting anything your investigators had learned or their impressions from talking to Flynn?
No, sir.
So he said he's a good guy, you said he's a good guy, and that was no further action taken on that.
Well, he said more than that, but there was no, the action was, I wrote it up,
briefed our senior team, tried to figure out what to do with it, and just made a decision. We're going to hold this and then see what we make of it down the road. Yes, sir.
Was it your view that not briefing up meant you really had no responsibility to report that to the Justice Department in some way?
I think at some point, and I don't know what Director Mueller is going to do with it, but at some point I was sure we were going to brief it to the team in charge of the case. But our judgment was, in the short term, doesn't make sense to no fuzz on the fact I reported to the Attorney General. That's why I stressed he shouldn't be kicked out of the room. But it didn't make sense to report to him now.
You know, you said...
I have a good question. A great questioning there to say, you know, really nothing here. It renders a lot of all of this breathlessness reporting crazy. Rush Limbaugh will continue this coverage, and no doubt over the next 24, 48 hours we'll be hearing lots about it. I'll be filling up at PetroServe USA, registering to win some of that $50,000, maybe having the 4-for-4 special for lunch, and then heading for the Hawk Museum in Wolford, North Dakota, where we'll be broadcasting live later today. God bless you, folks, and thanks for listening. Bye-bye. Diesel mechanics, listen up. Trailer technicians, have I got a deal for you. Polar Service Center is hiring. Kildeer and Williston locations are in Billings, Montana, too. If you want to be appreciated, compensated for the value you bring to an organization, then this opportunity is for you. Up to $32 an hour. And they have a training program. Great benefits with medical, dental, and prescription insurance. Disability and life insurance included. Paid time off program. 401k with employer match. Flexible spending account. And so much more. Polar Service Center, with locations in Kildeer, Williston, and Billings, Montana, too, is a great place to work. They're the largest tank trailer manufacturer in North America. And they have Polar Service Centers in North Dakota, Montana, and all across the country. To apply, call Gary now, 495-3592, 701-495-3592, 495-3592, Polar Service Center.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Today, how to incorporate your business in just 10 minutes so you won't lose everything if you get sued. Step 1, stop putting it off. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business tomorrow, it's not just your business at risk. You can lose everything, your home, your car, even your life savings. Step 2, call the following number for a free 10-minute incorporation guide from Incorporate.com. 1-800-945-1063. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy. So you can incorporate or form an LLC in just 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-945-1063. Step 3, congratulate yourself. By taking just 10 minutes to incorporate your business or form an LLC, you protected your home, your car, and your life savings. And that is how you incorporate your business in just 10 minutes. But hurry while they're still giving away these 10-minute incorporation guides for free. Call 1-800-945-1063. That's 1-800-945-1063.